I did notice one thing. There was a comment someone made, I'm not gonna say who. Did you all see the size of Bill Taylor's wallet?
Yes.
Somebody commented on that already. No, it's all cards. Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure about that. I was going to take up an offering. That's carnal, folks. That's all we know.
It's cards, but you know, Bass Pro Shop.
Oh, okay. Okay. As long as not credit cards, brother. That'll be all right. So. Hey, let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I realize the meal after the evening service does put a little bit of a rush, not rush on things, but you know, we've had one preacher each night, and I believe it's been very appropriate. You know, we can't eat at 10 o'clock, it just wouldn't be wise for tomorrow morning's sake, but the mornings are worth giving us a little bit of time, and we can spend some time here.
Amen.
And go through the scripture. So I'm not going to rush. I need more time than 30 to 28 minutes, but we'll just do as the Lord sees fit. And I'm not going to try to beleaguer it. And if it's done, I'll try to finish. And I'm going to give you wisdom in that. Some people don't have that kind of wisdom, and I've heard that over the years. A guy asked me one time, he said, how do I preach a camp meeting? I said, hurry up and sit down. And he said, no, really, how do I preach a camp meeting? I said, I told you, hurry up and sit down. And he got up there and went on for about 45 minutes, kind of rambling. And he came back later and he said to me, he said, your brother, you know, I thought about what you said. You were right. I said, yeah, I know. So anyways, I've learned to try to do that. Let somebody else, especially if you got, you know, 25, 30 preachers sitting there, all of them itching to preach. And usually I'm the last one that wants to be up there. And so I've tried to learn to be brief. I will be as brief as I can in this morning. And yet give what the Lord has for us. But Titus chapter number 2. I'll just start in verse number 1, then read verse number 15, and then try to bookend everything in between and give us some ideas, some thoughts on this. But chapter 2, verse number 1 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. I want you to speak things that become sound. This is doctrinal. This is not optional. This is doctrinal. Speak things that become sound doctrine. Then after he makes these statements, verses 2 through 14 and verse number 15, he says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Amen.
So he said, I want you to speak the things which become sound doctrine. And then he says, these things speak and I want you to exhort. To exhort you to do right, exhort you to be obedient to the scriptures. And then he says, and rebuke. Well, Taylor's mentioned so many times this week, they that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. Rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. I'm getting old enough that I've grown up in a different age. I'm not that old, but yet I look at the generation of today, and how, like, when I grew up, we didn't have cell phones go off in church, you know, things like that. We didn't have that happen. But these young people today just don't care about anything. Attention to anything. It's just a different day in which we live. It couldn't happen to a better person.
Yeah, absolutely. For that.
And this will be preaching illustrations for years to come, sister. It's better than the wah, wah, wah down in Tennessee, sister. Sister Ruth Anna will never forget her wah, wah, wah text message at the most appropriate time of the... But Shangle's just talking, I mean, a very serious point. I mean, he's talking about the wrath of God, and he pauses, and Sister Ruth Anna's cell phone goes, wah, wah, wah. And she's never lived it down since. And so anyway, the other week it was my wife. I'll just tell on her. And it happens. But I just grew up in a different day. You know, I remember my pastor pulled me aside. He looked me in the eye and he'd say, Tim? And I'd sit up. And he'd challenge me about whatever it was in my life. And he was sincere and serious about it. But he always did it one-on-one. I'm also talking about this man, Pete Mills, who was very influential in me getting saved. I remember Pete coming up to my sister and saying, "Does your mom know how fast you drive?" Along those lines, and she just bucked up and got mad, and he just told you, "You better slow down." Now, he didn't tell my mom. My sister, she would take my sister's license away because that's the day we were in. And my sister wouldn't have whined and threw a little fit and cried and threatened to go to the police because she would have been finding another place to live. So if she would have lost her license, my mom would have taken it. She had known she was speeding like that. So we learned a valuable lesson. We didn't speed by Pete Mills' house. We lived in a day when we had aged folk. The Bible talks about aged folk. Now, I don't know. Some of you want to disqualify yourself as that because of your pride. Let's just be honest about that. But the Bible gives clear instruction of aged men and aged women. That means those that have some age to them. Well, Dale, we could deny it, but the reality is that you and I are falling into that category. I won't mention anybody else around our age, but fall into that category, and we are becoming aged men. We're no longer young men.
That's right.
And they use the term middle age. Well, the Bible doesn't really deal with a middle age. There's either men or there's young men. There's not much in between, biblically.
Right.
And so dealing with this passage of Scripture, it's given instruction to young men, then it gives an instruction to the aged men, to the aged women, and the instruction to the aged women, the Bible never instructs the younger woman here. He instructs the aged to teach the younger.
That's right. That's what it says, brother.
And then he talks about servants. And, of course, I know servitude today is lost. Let me just say this because it does tie in with what we're going to deal with. We would still have servitude in America if it were not for the welfare system.
That's right.
Yeah. Willis Shankles made a great statement of Black Creek Baptist Church, probably the week you got saved, brother. I remember him saying, he said, "I thank God for rich people." And I remember half the people of Black Creek just bucked up and roared. How dare he make a statement like that? But he said this: "A poor man never gave me a job."
Yeah, how about that?
Sure. It stuck with me. This statement stuck with me all these years.
Mm-hmm.
I never looked at it in that light, but I thank God for that. Mm-hmm. You see, when you work for the man, all you're doing, you're in servitude.
Right.
Basically, what it is, you say, "I need to eat, I need to live, I need to place a roof over my head, therefore I'm going to put myself at your what? Service."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is the agreement we have. Of course, the government has now intervened, and they forced some people to provide more than really what's needed. This fast food worker is making $15 an hour. Hey, I'm thankful they can make $15 an hour as long as they've earned it. But you ought not to force anybody to make a certain wage. It's an agreement. It depends on how hungry you are, how much you're willing to work for.
Good, brother. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
And so he exhorts servants, which we've lost today. We don't have servants today because people don't have to serve. They can just, have everything given to them. So he exhorts them as well. But, by the way, you are indebted to the government. You are in servitude to the government. You need to do your absolute best to be a good citizen if they're paying your bills. You can say amen on that.
That's right. Amen.
Really and honestly, y'all go along the highways and pick up trash for free. Don't get upset with me. I'm just telling you the truth. Man, it doesn't work. Y'all not eat.
Okay.
Y'all find a way to work. If you can't work for others, then go to the church and work.
Right.
Go find somebody that has a need. Go take the widows and the fatherless and visit them in their affliction. Practice pure religion, holy and undefiled before God. Practice these things. But most don't want to do that. They don't want to be servants. They just want to give and they want to receive. Thank God for those that do give back. Thank God for those that do work.
Yes,
thank God for those
that
will put their labor into what they... And listen, I realize there's people that physically cannot labor. They don't have the physical ability to labor, but they can still visit.
Right.
They can still go visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction. They can still take the time out. Hey, if somebody's paying all your bills and paying for everything for you, you ought to still take the time to take time for others.
Yeah, amen.
Most people just sit at home feeling sorry for themselves, mad at rich people, mad at everybody else because they haven't been handed what they were handed. By the way, most people weren't handed. That's somewhere. They squander it, but a lot of them really work for it. You ought to take advantage of the fact that someone has taken care of you and try to be a blessing to others through that. Be kind to others through that. Go visit those that need visited. Go sit with the elderly and just be kind to them and fellowship with them. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
Good, brother, yeah.
I got some pastors that want to preach. It's a servitude's lost today.
Yes, sir.
Don't misquote me. Don't go out there saying I'm against this and I'm against. I'm just telling you, if somebody is taking care of you, you ought to give back to others. And if somebody isn't taking care of you, you still ought to give back to others.
That's right.
Our focus is wrong. Our thoughts are wrong. Why? Because we're not sober-minded. The first thing he tells us here in verse number 2, after we're speaking sound doctrine, he says that the aged men be sober. Sobriety garners this thought. Let me turn over to 1 Peter, read a couple of verses. 1 Peter 4, 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Watch unto prayer. Sobriety has a picture of watchfulness. It has a picture of seriousness. It has a picture of looking, longing, but also in prayer. Be sober. But they don't dealt that verse. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, he is a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
What he wants.
Mm-hmm. There needs to be a sobriety amongst aged men.
That's right.
There needs to be a soberness among aged men, always looking, always wanting, always longing for the coming of the Lord. He says not only to be sober, be grave. Gravity is something a young man, I don't think, is even capable of. But as we get older and we slow down, we can become more grave. We can become very somber about things. A seriousness that a young man is impossible to have, but an aged man can have a somberness because he's seen the flip side of everything.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Seen the destruction of his children and grandchildren and family, and he has a sobriety about him. He has a gravity about him. Most of them don't have that. I go back, and just don't get upset with this. I realize I hurt some people's feelings because they didn't get a Corvette either. But, you know, that's why the midlife crisis. You know, a man goes out, and he either goes to the Corvette dealer or the Harley dealer.
That's right. Yeah,
and he has that midlife crisis because he's not great.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't have sobriety. He's not sober. He's not. He doesn't want to live as an aged. It doesn't mean you wither up on the vine and sit at home and wait to die. No,
right.
But you have a gravity. You have a graveness about you. There is a seriousness because you see the destruction of your nation, the destruction of your people, and oftentimes the destruction of your own family. Not only to be grave, but he says temperate. That temperate having to do, again, not just with not drinking, but it has to do with that right balance in your life, that right mixture in your life, tempered together, pure and holy, the Bible talks about, having the right pieces. You don't fly off on this tangent, leave this undone, and go, you know, to make a stand over here about this, and then run and leave this undone. And I got to be careful saying things, but, you know, I watch people run off on their little tangents. You meet people, and my wife and I talked about this. You meet them, and within 5 minutes, you know all their kooky doctrines that they know nobody else believes, but they believe because they want to share them with you. That's not being temperate.
Sorry,
that means you just have this kooky doctrine you're proud of, and in your pride, you got to let everybody know you have this kooky doctrine that nobody else believes. So in the first 5 minutes, you let everybody know your kooky doctrine or your kooky belief or your kooky ideal or whatever it is, and that's not temperate. And an aged man needs to be temperate. Just have a balance in your life.
Yeah.
Everything's in kilter. Everything's just moves along, but it may be slower than it used to be, but at least it runs well. It's a shame. See, aged men today, there's no temperance in their lives.
Yes.
Everything's out of kilter. They're like a wheel that's out of balance. Everything they do is tainted. Everything they do is damaged. Everything they do is wounded because they just don't have temperance. He says, nextly, and he says, sound in faith. The aged men in the church need to be sound in faith. That means they believe God. They put God to the test, and God has come through shining as gold. Because they're sound in faith, God has proven himself to them. They believe God. They believe the word of God. How much today do we have men that are still skeptics, still mockers?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, a man that's sound in faith does not meddle in the faith of others.
Right.
A man that's sound in faith does not meddle in church affairs. His faith means that he's trusting God. We live in a day when people meddle in everything. They have to have control of everything. That's not sound in faith. That's in your own practicality. That's humanistic understanding. That's belief in self, belief in your ways, belief in your doings. That's not faith in God. That's saying, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to work this out. I'm going to do this. Faith is the substance of things hopeful. There's a substance there. The evidence is just things not seen. We live by faith and not by sight. It's that we believe God because there is a substance. It's not tangible with these hands. We don't reach out and touch the substance, but by faith we can see it. We can abide in it. And he said the aged men need to be sound in faith. That means it rings true. You ever found an old bell that was cast to a pitch? What I mean by that, explain that, is that bell isn't just something. You get these old cast iron dinner bells, they just clang, 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 clang. You know, I love them. Thank God, I'm a bell man. But you find that pitched bell, you find that old church brass bell, you find that old locomotive bell, those old church spire bells. they're cast to a pitch. If they don't pitch true, the craftsman will begin to cut that brass off until it rings true. It'll have a musical tone to it. It's pitched right. Why? Because it's a sound bell. It has a sound to it. You hammer it, you knock it, it sounds right. He said the aged men need to be sound in faith. Whenever their faith is wrong, it rings true, it rings solid, it rings pure. Requirement of the aged men. Mm-hmm. Most aged men today, most young men, aged men alike have no faith at all. Yeah. We're in a faithless and a perverse generation.
Yes, yeah, right. Yes, sir.
Jesus called them this way, this generation of his wrath.
Right.
Why, they don't believe God.
Nope.
They've not tested and been tried to see if they even trust God.
That's right.
God tests them with the smallest of things. They fall apart. They're not sound. The aged men need to be sound in faith and just believe God. Not only in faith, but in charity. And I know all of us Bible correctors would say that's love. You know, that's love. Oh, love and love. No, it's not just love. It's the action of love.
That's right.
It's the work of love.
That's right.
Charity is the evidence of love. When you receive charity, if you went down here to the Salvation Army and said, hey, my family's hungry and we don't have clothes, would you provide us with charity? They don't just love you.
That's right.
Right? They don't just hug you.
No.
Oh, that's a blessing. Thanks for coming in. We love you. You're going to walk away hungry. That's, by the way, that is what most people's charity is, by the way. Mm. Be clothed, be fed. Amen. God bless you. Amen. We'll give you the blessing. That's what most, but charity is an action of love. Right. Charity is the outpouring of love. Charity means with love that we will clothe and we will feed and we will put the actions behind love. He said the aged men need to be sound in faith and charity.
That's good, brother.
They don't just say, I love you with their lips. They say, I love you with their actions. And we learn that from the aged men. We learn that really biblically, I believe, from the deacons of the church. They find out good men. These are men sound in faith. These are men that were full of the Holy Ghost. What did they do? So the apostles wouldn't have to wait tables. These men literally were waiting tables. These men were doing the need of charity in the church. And again, that's lost. Most deacons want a position. Amen. It's like they actually have training classes to teach deacons how to fold their arms correctly. Because everything they don't like, they sit in the front row. I go to churches plenty. They sit in the front row and they fold their arms. Brother Taylor, you know the look. It's the deacon folded arm look. They're not taught charity. They're not taught how to perform the act of charity and kindness to others. Why? Because there's no concern over it. Because they don't believe the Bible. The Bible says these things are sound doctrine.
That's right, brother.
Aged men must have charity. Then he says, in patience.
Oh, boy.
The aged men must be sound in doctrine, in charity, and in patience. If the aged men can't be patient with us formerly younger men, soon to be aged men, and they can't be patient with these children, who are they going to be patient with?
Right.
The example of patience must be these aged men in the church. Now, he only gives one verse to the aged men because they really ought to know better.
Mm.
They ought to know the best. But then he gives several verses here, three different verses to the aged women. And he says this, the aged women likewise. By the way, likewise, just like verse number two, just like the aged men, these are the things that aged women need to be sound in. They need to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience. Likewise, he says that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Holiness. God is holy. They ought to be holy. Their actions ought to be holy. Their thoughts ought to be holy. He says that not only becometh holiness, not false accusers. Boy, we could stop there for a long time.
Oh, boy.
The aged women are to teach the younger. The aged women are the example. The aged women are those that say, you know what, I'm going to show you young ladies, you can keep your mouth shut. Not false accusers. The problem is you know, and I'll be honest, it affects all of us, including myself. I'm not above telling you the fact. You know, we don't gossip. We just tell the truth about people, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I've learned, if I just started saying, I'm not gossiping, I'm gossiping. I mean, let's just be honest.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
He said, aged women, don't be false accusers. Don't try to guess what people's motives are. Don't try to figure out why they're doing what they're doing. Don't be false accusers. Teach others that, hey, the accusation doesn't need to be said. I got my own faults, my own failures. Believe it or not, I know it's hard to tell, but I really do, honestly. you know, very minor things, very, very small things of my life, you know, like my the stupid things that I do, the stupid things that I think, how I treat my wife terrible and treat other people terrible and get mad and irritable. You know, just real small things, minor things. They just water off the duck's back, you know. You know, sometimes I blow up at people. I don't even have any business blowing up at still. And here I am, you know, 43 years old, been saved 18 years. I still get mad at people for stupid things. And I'll be honest, most people I get mad at is because they're not like me. You know, they do stupid things, and God forbid I ever do something stupid. You know, I'm just being honest with you. So I have these minor flaws. I have these minor failures in my life. But you'd be shocked how many people don't have them. You'd be amazed how many people don't have these minor flaws in their life. Why? Because when they accuse everybody else, they usually accuse them of what they're doing. Who was it the other day? He said, if you find someone that's always accusing people of stealing, it's because they're usually a thief. They're paranoid. They lock everything up. They're paranoid.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
And I've learned that's pretty true in life a long time. False accusers. Always trying to twist things, manipulate people. Saying, he said, she said, they told me. False accusers. It ought not be with the aged women. If anything, they ought to be the ones to sow a cord one with another. They'll be the ones to try to sow a chord where, hey, we have peace and we have harmony. I've learned as ladies, I hope y'all are working well. I haven't been in the kitchen a whole lot. I hope y'all are working well together. I've been to a lot of churches where the biggest fight of the meeting doesn't come out of the pulpit. It comes out of the kitchen.
That's right. Yeah, yes, sir.
You go back in the kitchen, there's blood and guts all over the walls. That has nothing to do with hamburger. I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah.
And these are the aged women of the church. They can't even get long enough to cook hamburgers. One wants to fry them, one wants to boil them. Next thing you know, they're fist fighting. I've been to a church, I tell you the truth before the Lord, I've been to a church where the pastor had to send people home from the kitchen.
Oh, boy.
The alternative was to call the police. I'm not making this up. Why? Because aged women, false accusers, and he said this, not given to much wine. That could be part of the problem right there. I mean, one for me, one for the spaghetti sauce. And that's just the way people are. Not be given to much wine. These ancient women are to be showing a pattern of drinking, a pattern of drunkenness, a pattern of NyQuil addictions, whatever it is. That's not the pattern. He goes on and says this, teachers of good things. Well, it's all fun and games till we get there.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you aged ladies teaching others? What are you teaching others? I'm appalled at how many young ladies today have absolutely no clue how to cook anything, and some of them don't know how to push the buttons on the microwave. Just being honest with you. I'm appalled at the young ladies that have no idea how to manage a household, and then their mother sends them out to get married. He buys them a vacuum for a wedding present. And she's out there tied to the back of the car trying to figure out what it is. What's this? I need you to wash the clothes. She looks at the clothes. She looks at the bathtub. She looks at the kitchen sink. Before the truth, I lied on. I was a man with a man in Iceland. A man. I was one of the young ladies. A man in Iceland. Wachowski. We called him Wash Tub. Because he's, to be honest, he's stunk. I'm just being honest with you. And Wachowski just smelled terrible. And finally, my boss had to go to him. He said, Wash Tub. He said, we got to do something about this. He goes, he's like, boss, I shower every day. I wash my clothes every week. He says, I don't know what it is. He goes, let's go through this process. So he goes over there. They're going through the shower. Do you use soap? Do you use shampoo? You know, do you use these different things? He goes, they go in the laundry room, and he goes, okay, now show me what you do. And he put his clothes in the washer and turned it on. Marv says, what about soap, Wash Tub? And he kind of looks at him like he's an idiot. Here he is in the military, 20 years old. He did not know you put soap in a washing machine.
That's something.
Now, this verse isn't saying teach the younger women. This verse is saying teach good things. His mama failed. I'm just being honest.
Right.
Teaching them good things. My mom taught me a lot about cooking. I'll tell you how she did it. Getting her to cook. That's how she did it. And then she'd show me things. She's patient. She'd show me, this is why you do this. This is how you do this. I learned in cast iron, amen, and salt. That's the two things, cast iron and salt. That's how we cook. And so my mom still cooks. I'm like, Mom, did you season this? And she just throws salt in it. I mean, my mom doesn't use garlic. She doesn't use onions. She doesn't, I'm just being honest. She doesn't use thyme. She doesn't use oregano. She doesn't use any of that. I mean, my wife and I love herbs and we love spices. I'm like, Mom, this thing needs some seasoning. She's like, put salt in it. Thank God for it.
Yeah,
that's right. It's obvious thing. It's a shame this generation is a lot of young ladies, young men alike. Their mothers never taught them anything
good. Yeah, that's right, brother. Yep.
Never taught them anything good. Let me just go ahead and hit this while we're here. It's not a sin to sow.
That's right.
Not a sin to know how to sow.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just being honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing for a man to know how to sow.
Sure thing, yeah. Brother. Yes, it is.
I mean, I remember they taught us in home ec. They used to have home ec. Guys had to take home ec.
Yeah,
y'all remember that?
Yeah.
You make these little rock hard biscuits in a pan. And, you know, I was the only one that came up with good biscuits. I knew how to make biscuits. My mom taught me how to make biscuits.
That's something.
And the teacher didn't know how to make biscuits. I'm just telling you. So I had to do things different because my mom taught me differently. Thank God for that. But it came, I just had to throw my pillow away. I made a pillow in home ec, kept it all these years. I was proud of that pillow.
Right? Amen.
It's the pillow I made. I mean, it's kind of ugly, Rebecca, because that's why we threw it out anyway. She said it's kind of ugly. But, you know, it's the pillow I made in home economics class. They taught me how to sew. They taught good thing.
That's right.
And you know who's supposed to do that? Hello. Let's be honest. Nobody look around. Nobody look down at their feet. Who in here would say, I know I'm an aged woman? Would you be honest about that? According to the Bible. Who's here? I know I'm an aged woman. Would you be honest? Raise your hand. Caleb? Look at that. You raise your hand. How do you men would say I'm an aged man, biblically? I'm telling you, I got to be honest about it. I mean, I'm an aged man. I don't know. It doesn't say old man, it's an aged man. A man has come of age. A woman has come of age. You'll be teaching good things. Lost in the church.
Yes,
now,
sir.
This is what every aged woman I know says. They don't want to listen. To be honest, my mom had a cure for that. She taught me how to listen. Didn't matter what it was, my mom had a way of teaching me how to listen. And when I got too big to make listen that way, hey man, you can try to figure it out if you want to. When I got too big, then I just went hungry. You don't want to do dishes? Okay, don't eat breakfast. I remember going to school, my stomach growled, I thought I was going to die. You know, I was like 15 years old, I could eat about 5 Big Macs at a sitting, 10 pieces of fried chicken, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, my mom had to make separate meals for me and then the rest of the family. And I'm not exaggerating on that. I eat a box of cereal on Saturday mornings. It's a wonder my mom didn't go in the poorhouse. I was a growing boy. She'd say, okay, you don't want to listen? Here you go, starve. And I know today, it's child neglect, child abuse. My mom probably been in prison for 15 years for that. If she had killed me when I was born, I would have been fine. But because, you know,
right.
I'm
that's
starving,
something.
I'm missing
yeah,
one meal
brother.
At 15 years old, I should probably be in prison for it. Mm-hmm. Can I say this? The aged women need to be teachers of good things.
Thank you, Lord.
They need to teach children.
Yes, sir.
Oh. We always appoint Sunday school teachers. We appoint women, and it is scriptural because they need to teach good things. Now, there comes a point in time the children start learning doctrine. You know, My Little Pony flannelgraph is not going to fly when they're 15. It's just not going to work.
Right.
But because those women know how to teach those children good things. My mom taught us ABCs, numbers, colors. When I went to kindergarten, I remember going to kindergarten. And forgive me, we lived in the ghetto. We just did. We lived in the absolute ghetto. We lived in Midland, Pennsylvania. We lived in apartments up on the hill. And my mom told later on, she goes, I was too dumb and naive to know. I was too young to know we lived in the ghetto. I mean, I was 5 years old. I knew we lived in the ghetto.
Yeah, that's right.
I still remember the lady that got murdered her boyfriend about 3 buildings down from us. I was 5, 6 years old. I still remember that. I still remember talking about them murdering people going up there and watching the coroner take the black bag out on the stretcher. I remember those things. We lived in the ghetto. So when I went to elementary school, I went in there and I was with kids. And I'm being honest, there was a girl, and I never forget her. I don't know her name, but I'll never forget her. She was about 7 years old. She was still in kindergarten. She's 3 times my size. She shoved me down the playground to hold me down and, you know, until I submitted to whatever she wanted. She just ran my life. It was awful. But it's because she was too dumb to go to first grade. She was in kindergarten. When I was in kindergarten, I thrived in kindergarten. My mom had taught me all these things. They're trying to teach me like ABC. You know, and I'm already reading books. Thank God for that. My mom taught me. Said, "Learn. Here's how you read." I was reading books. Thank God for that. It's lost today. Oh, it's lost. We're kind of hung up here a while. I know it's lost today. You aging women, you start teaching good things.
Preaching, brother. That's right.
It's a constant teaching. Constant mothers. It's a constant instruction with the children. Every little thing. It's constant. It's constant. It's constant. You know, I watch mothers today, and I'll be honest. they're so fearful, especially of a little boy getting hurt. They're so worried about that, but they're not the slightest bit worried about what he learns.
Oh, boy.
Mamas, let me just tell you, I'm trying to help you. I'm going to be honest.
Help us.
Him getting hurt sometimes is how he's going to learn.
Sure it is, brother. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Don't play with bees, son. He'll learn.
Yep.
I'm just being honest with you.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
My wife didn't believe it. We used to catch bees, we'd pinch them, and we'd run around and chase each other with them because, you know, if you jab a bee into somebody, he leaves a stinger and it hurts really bad. And so we'd jab bees into each other. My mom would come out there and yell, "Put the bees up, quit playing with the bees." We had BB gun fights.
No,
my mom did not know that one. But you didn't shoot anybody in the face. You shot him in the rear end or the back. I mean, we had those pump daisies, a single pump. It would shoot from here to the door kind of accurately, but it would leave a well. We had BB gun fights. We were boys. We were foolish. We learned.
Yeah.
It was give and take. You want to inflict pain, you're going to receive pain.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
I watch mamas today. They're so worried about that little boy getting hurt that they could care less about teaching him anything.
Oh, brother.
See, he's running amok, he's running, doing his own thing, trying to learn things. My mama's woven like a hand over him. No, but she doesn't teach him anything good. Doesn't teach him anything, doesn't instruct him. Hey, this is what you ought to do, this is how you do it. Hey, mama, learn how to nail two boards together so you can teach him how to nail two boards together. Salvation Army, when my dad left, we were pretty poor, but Salvation Army gave us one of those old metal erector sets. Some of you might remember them. Opened me up to a whole new world of just putting stuff together and screwing stuff in and making things with my hands. And my dad was gone when I was 10. Here I was about 12, 13 years old, still trying to learn a lot of things. I didn't know how to do much at all. And I learned, and old Pete Mills would have me go and help me work on the car. I had no clue what Pete was doing. He'd just have me hold stuff and hand him wrenches. And I remember still hitting white grease on my arm. I'd be like, oh, I'm getting mad to be grease on my arm, you know. But he was teaching me some things. The Asian women, they start teaching. You need to start teaching good things. One of those things you need to start teaching the young people, the younger especially, is the Bible. Mm-hmm. Teach them the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Memory verse, scripture verse memorization is lost in most churches today. It's lost in most homes today. It's lost in most families today. They do not teach their children to memorize the scripture. Then from a what? Child thou hast known the holy scriptures, I believe it says, to make thee wise unto salvation. From a child you knew these things. Good things. Every aspect of their life, and mamas especially, there's a verse for every situation in your child, especially the younger they are. As things get more complicated, older it's a little bit harder. But when they're young, there's very simple verses you can just teach them. Find the Proverbs, read the Proverbs, know the Proverbs, respond with Scripture, teach them good things. I know we got hung up there for a long time.
Preach it, brother.
We're not done. He says that they may teach the younger, they do all these things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to be serious-minded, to be sober about the things of life. And by the way, if you're teaching a young lady how to be sober about the things of life, she's not going to spend 2 hours in the mirror fluffing her hair and spray paint in her face, and worry about the tan in bed. I'm just being honest with you. If you're teaching her to be sober, those things are going to be about fifth down her list, and there may be days she won't even get to them, but it won't affect her because you've taught her to be sober.
Yeah.
Now, should I say that again? Maybe that would help some of us.
So.
You teach her how to be sober, maybe she won't spend so much time in the mirror.
Yeah. Yep.
These aging women haven't taught the younger, because the younger, all they do is spend time in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I were in a meeting, may the Lord help us. A little girl, when I say, no, honey, right away, little girl, every break in the camp meeting, every break in the service, this is several years ago, she'd pull her little compact out of her, and she'd get her hairbrush out, and she'd brush her hair. She's about 8, 7 years old, and she'd pull a compact, she'd brush, and then she'd get her chapstick, or use her chapstick out, and she'd go with her mirror, and she'd like reapply her chapstick. I thought, what a horrible learned behavior. I'm just being honest with you. You know, and you see her now, she's 9 maybe now, she still flips her hair. We saw her a couple weeks ago flipping her hair and brushing her hair out and, you know, everything. And I thought, my goodness, somebody's not teaching her to be sober. And by the way, don't go against what I'm saying. It's fine for a lady to look nice for her husband.
That's right, bro.
It's not an ant trap. Hey, man.
That's right.
Come on, you're not a flycatcher.
Yeah, that's right.
It's fine for a lady. She ought to look her best for her husband.
That's right. Thank you.
My wife doesn't have to work hard at it, but she does work a little bit at it to look good for me. Hey, man. She at least brushes her teeth, combs her hair out in the morning. Thank God for that.
Thank God, bro. Yes, sir.
She doesn't work real hard at it. That's good. Thanks, honey, for that. But now we got the flycatchers. I mean, all they do is sit there, they get their mouths open, they look pretty. I mean, as soon as he gets in there, buddy, he doesn't know it's for his death. That's Proverbs chapter 7, by the way.
That's right, sure is.
He doesn't know it's for his soul.
Yep.
Well, let me move off that. We'll be here all day. They may teach the young women to be sober, and then to this, to love their husbands. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's tough.
Oh, boy.
Can I ask you, ladies? I'll ask my wife. Everybody stare at my wife for a minute. Is it natural for you to love me? I mean, honestly, I mean, when we were courting, it came easy, right? But I wasn't laying next to you making noises and the old Dutch oven and, honestly, if this goes too far, honey, I'm sorry, but she goes, if I gotta shave, you gotta shave. Why? Because she has to learn. It was real easy.
Yeah.
It was really, hey, we got along great the whole time we recorded. We never had any troubles from the first night we were married.
That's right.
Just paid on it.
That's right, bro, yeah.
She had to learn how to love me.
Yeah, sure.
That's why it says, Angel, when you teach the younger to love, and I like what it says here. I love the Bible. Thank God for the word of
God. Thank God, yes, sir.
To love their husbands.
Their husbands, that's right.
I've always been real careful. Now, listen, I know that a woman is subject to a man. That she's to obey. The Bible says to obey her own husband. That's what the Bible says.
That's what it says.
But I love what it says, to love their husband. You teach her to love only that man she's married to. We live in a Jezebel society today. They teach them to love any man that comes along.
Oh,
that's what they're trying to attract every. Come on now. That's why they're trying to attract every man that comes along.
Right.
You go in churches, Brother Taylor, you see this, I know. The skirts get shorter and shorter. The tops get lower and lower. The revelation becomes unbiblical.
Yep.
And why? Because they're trying to attract everybody but their husband. I'm talking about the wives in the church.
Yeah.
Why? Because nobody ever taught them to love their husband.
Oh, brother, yeah.
Their husband. And when you love your husband, you don't worry about other people's husband.
That's right.
I'm real careful about telling somebody else's wife what to do. I don't care what the emergency is. I'm real careful about that because she's to obey her own husband. And if anything, I might go say, hey, brother, would you mind if your wife did such and such?
That's right.
If that man said no, I'd say, that's absolutely fine. You're her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Some men are rogues, because my wife's a little bit younger than their wives. Some men are kind of, I know some men are kind of swift to speak to my wife. You're kind of telling her what to do. And my wife, thankfully, she always looks at me.
Huh.
I'm trying to talk her that. Now, before you think I'm getting puffed up about that, getting cocky about
preacher,
that,
let me brother.
Say this.
Yes, sir.
I bear the responsibility of that also.
Yes, sir. You got that right.
Because when I do tell her something to do, I bear that responsibility,
right.
Not her.
That's
she
right.
bears this responsibility. Did I obey my husband? That's the responsibility she bears.
Yep.
That's the responsibility Sister Taylor bears, Sister Magda, Sister Ashley, the other lady. That's the responsibility you bear.
Yep.
I bear this responsibility. Oh, my soul, did I even tell her what to do right?
Oh, yeah.
I had to live with what was done because I had to make the decision. So, of course, she has to love her own husband because it takes love to obey somebody.
Sure it does.
When you see their bad side, their flip side, you see their uprisings, their downsides, you see the absolute worst of them every day. And to love that man, well, you'll obey him is love. That's why the divorce rate is close to 70%
in
America.
Oh, bro, that's high.
That's why. Because that woman doesn't trust that man, for one thing. Because as we just learned with this whole cheating scandal, this whoremongering site where men can go out there and find other women, supposedly. And I told my wife, I think it's great that there's a big scam. They found that they were faking women out there trying to get men. 95% of the people signed up on that website are men. Is that whole Ashley Madison scam that's been in the news?
Yeah, sure.
95% of the men out there are men. I thought that's kind of funny right there. They're just taking their money, scamming them. I like that. Amen. That's the only thing I do like about it is they're scamming these infidels, these adulterers.
That's right.
One thing I've learned is women have a trust issue because men that live like that.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
I have known of women who were pure on their wedding night. And within 4 months, were divorced because they found out their husband was a pervert and an adulterer.
Sad, brother. Sad.
There's a preacher I know, who his daughter went to the marriage altar. They said pure. She married this fella. And through a couple months later, they're going through the computer because of some evidence, some other things that popped up. They found that on his very wedding night, he was soliciting women on Craigslist.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
It's hard for a woman to trust a man. It's hard for a woman to love a man. But I'm telling you, the elder women need to teach the younger how to love their husbands. And if he's sober, and if he's serious, and he's brave, he'll learn how to love.
Right.
It's up to you, aged women, to teach them how to love that husband. He said this, to love their children. And I know you children, Josh and Caleb, Luke, Autumn, I know you think your parents just love you automatically. Well, you don't remember back when you were little.
That's right. Thank you, Lord, yeah.
You know how your mama loved you through about 6 to 8 diapers a day? Are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
Luke, your mom probably changed 3,000 to 4,000 diapers when you were little. And she still loved you. Autumn? Probably a little less than Luke, probably 2,500 to 3,500, I'm guessing. But probably a little less than Luke. But he said, teach his mother to love their children.
Right.
It's not a natural act.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe me, keep reading the Bible. These women today have no natural affection.
They lost it, brother. That's right.
For their children.
None.
This child, let's be coarse about it. This object I hold in my hand that is screaming and puking and having full diapers, and I can't silence it, I can't quiet it, I can't do anything for this object in my hand. It came from me.
Mm-hmm.
How could I not love this child? In just that moment, he pukes again. It's not always easy.
That's right.
So he says, aged women, you teach them yet to love your children. Now, let me take that a step further. There's two sides to that love. There's loving them in the hard times. There's loving them when you're physical and all those nasty things we talk about. But to love your children enough to discipline them.
That's right, brother. Yeah. That's where it's at.
Because I believe the context of the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Because now, scripturally, who he loved, he chastened.
That's right.
Yep. Who he loved.
That's right.
A child left to his own. I think I said a son left to his own, bringing his mother shame.
Shame.
Somebody has to teach that mother to love that boy.
Yep.
Somebody has to teach that mother. She's not in competition with that little girl.
That's right.
And by the way, a lot of when they get 16, 17 years old, that mom is in competition with it.
Oh,
most of us know stories. I'd say horror stories, but it sounds too close to what they really are, which is horror stories. Those mamas trying to look like their daughter, trying to steal their daughter's boyfriends, trying to live like their daughter. Most of us know people that have lived that exact way because they do not love that little girl.
That's right. Not one bit.
It's going to take you aging women to teach the young. You raise that little girl for the admonition of the Lord because of the love. You discipline her because of love. You discipline that little boy because of love.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And I really struggle, but Taylor, give some thoughts on this afterwards. You can make a statement. Try to keep that in your mind if you can. But you probably have some thoughts on this I've never thought of. When he talks there in Hebrews, and talking about chastening correction, and he says that our fathers, you know, get it for their pleasure. I always knew when my mom especially whipped me that she was enjoying it. Amen. I took it as that at face value, Bible. It's just for her pleasure. As I got a little bit more seasoned in Christ, I realized it was for her pleasure only in this. I wasn't bringing her shame and a reproach.
That's right. That's what it is. Yeah. Right there.
That's the pleasure.
That's exactly what it is, Barley. Yes,
my mother would spank me. Dale, I know you spank these children.
Yes, sir, I do.
Sister Ray, you spank these children. Somebody had to teach you how to do that.
That's right, right there.
Somebody
brother.
Taught you how to do that. Why? For your pleasure. Mm-hmm. That when you see them in tears and you see them broken, over the spanking you've given them, they see that they have hurt you, they've hurt other people, and you see the remorse in their life, you lift up holy hands and say, Lord, thank you, Lord.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yep.
You realize it has to be taught.
Yep.
It doesn't come natural.
No, it doesn't.
Brother Ron Williams was, I don't know if you remember Brother Ron Williams, and I have some of a house out of Indiana. You got some of the tracks from Brother Williams. Mm-hmm. You're at a church, Brother Dale. Brother Ron Williams was absolutely blasted and even ostracized by the brother. You know Brother Ron Williams?
Mm-hmm.
And Hepzibah House. He made the statement, and I believe, was it 6 months old or 9 months old? He said, there's no reason you can't start spanking that child. And I believe he said, I believe it might have been 9 months old. And I mean, the brother just went ballistic. I mean, how dare you say so? And all he meant was just a swat. 9 months old, that child's not listening. That child, if that child knows enough to arch their back and to flinch away from you, they're learning something.
Yeah,
and he said, you swat them.
Right.
And the brethren went, ah!
Yep.
Those children are on their way to hell.
Yep.
Those children are in and out of the lockup, in and out of mental institutes.
Yep.
But they had to raise up and scream and say, oh, how dare he make a statement like that? It's because somebody had to teach a mother. When that little child arches its back, hey, Hannah doesn't know that naturally. My wife doesn't know that naturally. I mean, honest, if you don't, have you never been around children, you go, why is this baby arching his back? I'll tell you why, because he's a rebel!
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you got that right.
You aging women need to see these young girls in church. This young couple back here with this baby, that baby, oh, I mean, he's the sweetest thing. He's the finest thing since bread slice came out,
yeah,
I'm telling
buddy.
You. One of these days, she's going to pick him up, and he's going to arch his back! Ah! How dare you do that to me, mommy! She's going to have to be taught. Doing that out of rebellion.
Yes, sir.
Right.
That's right, brother. Sure.
If you don't put that down now, you'll deal with it the rest of your life.
Yeah, buddy.
Man.
Aged women must teach these things to the young. I'm going to stop there. We'll stop there, Brother Taylor. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll continue on.